main purpose of the lesson today is to help us to recognize in a convicted way our need for Jesus Christ. The passage that was read, and especially verse 4 and 5 of the book of St. John, chapter 1, I ask that that text be read again. St. John, chapter 1, verse 4 and 5.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
In Jesus Christ was what?
Life.
Life.
And the life was the light of men.
And that life was the light of men.
And the light shineth in darkness.
And the light shines in darkness.
And the darkness comprehended it not.
That is the unfortunate thing. That the darkness did not. How can you in darkness and light comes and you don't recognize it? Jesus Christ in this verse is telling us the terrible state that man is in spiritually and morally. Almost every form of life as we know it, botanical life, zoological life, human life, marine life, almost every form of life is dependent on light. That is a fact. Light gives life or makes life possible. Light purifies. Light brings order. Light gives direction. Without the light and the heat rays of the sun, darkness and death would reign on this earth and over the entire realm of nature. I have pointed out here more than once in the past, and it is a fact that so many of us know, that in the same way that the sun is needed, but not just needed. The Son is indispensable to the world of nature. Jesus Christ is indispensable to the moral and spiritual nature of man. When I said that, and this is no new truth, many of you know this, that the light of the sun is literally indispensable to nature. Put another way, without the light and the heat ray of the sun, there wouldn't be any green trees and life in the botanical world and in the zoological world and even among us human beings. Well, just the same way Jesus Christ, remember what we are looking at, our need for Jesus Christ. So in the same way that what we call nature, keep in mind that in a sense we are a part of nature. In the same way that what we call nature is dependent on the sun, man, human being, every person wherever that person is found, that person's moral life, are we there? And spiritual life is dependent on Christ. But somebody may say, but Brother Mitchell, there are many people in the world who are not spiritual. If you mean that there are many men and women in the world who have not accepted Christ, you are right. But if you mean that there's somebody in the world who was not created with a spiritual path, a God-like path, then you are mistaken. I have news for you. We are impaired human beings without Jesus Christ. Impairment. If I have one eye, my sight is impaired. That I wear glasses mean without it, my sight is impaired. And I'm saying to you, every man, when you are without Jesus Christ, your life is impaired. You are not a total person. Because God made you and make a part in you to accommodate Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ is not accommodated, something important is missing from your life. So our need for Jesus Christ is not something to just play with. Are we there? Jesus Christ. You know, when Jeremiah 10:23, "Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in him. It is not in man that walketh." You think that is referring only to the Christian? No. The ungodly man out there are inside here without Jesus Christ. You. If you are going through life and you are not a child of God, you are lost. You are living a hit and miss life. The passage in Jeremiah 10:23, you have it?
Oh Lord.
And when we quote it, they believe that we are making it up.
Oh Lord.
Uh-huh.
I know that the way of man is not in himself.
Which man? All men.
That's right.
Wherever they are found, whether they believe in God or not, morally, spiritually, ethically, they need God's guidance to direct their lives. Read.
It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps.
You understand that? What that passage is saying, in when God made us, He made us that we depend on Him for direction as we travel the journey called life. Christian, as we go through this lesson, you must learn. Because that we got baptized doesn't mean we really recognize our real need for Christ. That we got baptized doesn't mean that we take it seriously. Are we there? Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Is a declaration of the prophets. Are we there? Of Jesus Christ Himself. And of the apostles of Christ. Could you say that again, Brother Mitchell? Thank you for asking me. When Jesus Christ declared in the book of St. John that He is the light of the world, that is, morally, spiritually, He is the Son. It was not only from the mouth of Jesus Christ, that was also from the mouth of the prophets of the Old Testament. It was also from the mouth of the apostles of Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. Look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. Quick, please.
We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place.
You hear? This is talk about Jesus Christ and the gospel. It's like a light that shines
in a dark place.
In a dark place.
Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts.
Christ is that day star. Isaiah 9:2 or Malachi 4:21 you find first.
The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined.
This is talk about Jesus Christ and the gospel, you know. When a man or woman walk away from sin and the way of the world and turn to Jesus Christ, you are an enlightened person. Much more will be said about that. Among the chief and primary function of light is one, to reveal. That's one of the chief functions of light. Two, to give direction. That's another function of light. Three, to make life possible. So among the chief function of light, it reveals two, it gives direction. Three, it makes life possible. You see that we need light. Now, this applies to both physical light and Jesus Christ and His Word, spiritual light. Jesus Christ. Well, first, Jesus Christ is indispensable. But, Mr. Mitchell, I am 20 years old, and up to this point, I have not become a Christian, and I'm living. You're really existing. That's right. You're not really living. And that you are 20 or 30 or 40 or 60 or 70 or 100 and you have not yet given your life to Jesus Christ, this tells that you are in deep darkness. That's a fact. It tells me that you do not really know yourself. Because you need Jesus Christ in your life to know yourself. It tells me you do not know God. Without Christ, you cannot know God. It tells me that you do not know the will of God. Without Jesus Christ, you cannot know the will of God. It tells me that you are traveling a road you do not even know where you are going. What did I say? Christ is indispensable. May I? Your need for Jesus Christ. Is comparable to no other need. Expand on that, Brother Mitchell. Thank you for asking. Your need for Jesus Christ is comparable to nothing else. There is nothing else that is as important as your need for Christ. There is nothing in this world that can be compared to your need for Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew 26 and verse 24. And Matthew 18:6. Quick.
The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born.
Stop there a while. It was better for Judas if life had not been given him than for life to have been given him. And he relate to Jesus Christ in such a wrong way that he end up in the eternal hell. A person may reason and say, well, you know, I didn't accept Christ in this life, but at least the 20 or 30 or 50 or 60 years that I live here has been a blessing. No, it has not been a blessing if you die without Christ. Jesus Christ is implying here that it was better for Judas not to have been given life at all than for it to have been given and it is lived wrongly. And this is emphasizing our great need for Christ. And that it is comparable to nothing else. I have mentioned another passage of Matthew 18:6.
But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea.
There are some death that is cruel and wicked. We all recognize that we are going to die, but there are some death we do not want to die. And Jesus Christ is describing one here for somebody to tie something heavy around your neck and throw you in the sea. The struggle for life as you go down deeper and deeper in that sea is a terror. And Jesus Christ is relating here that when we offend the young ones, how terrible it will be between us and God. You get it? May I? I'm still on the fact that our need for Jesus Christ is comparable to nothing else. When you as a child of God, a Christian, any of us, we accept Jesus Christ and we are striving to live the Christian life. And when, step by step, we stray away from Christ and the cross. Are we there? And then we become backsliders. We cease trying. Remember, most of us, we are in the process of backsliding. Some of us at least. What did you say, Brother Michela? Yes. Some of us, we are in the process of backsliding. The Bible talks about our first love. The Bible talks about growing cold. I have a lesson. I don't feel the same way again. You hear that in marriage and romance. And a lot of times, that's what happened with us and Jesus Christ. That ought not to happen. So there are some of us, we are in the process of step-by-step backsliding. But when any man or woman accept Jesus Christ and after time, little by little, you backslide until Jesus Christ sees you as a backslider. Wait. I did not say that you see yourself as a backslider. In fact, I did not even say that other Christians see you as a backslider. Because a lot of times we don't even realize that you're a backslider. Did you all hear that? But when God sees you as a backslider, if before you accepted Jesus Christ, you were the top ranking sinner of the world, are you there? If before you accepted Jesus Christ, of the millions of sinners in the world, God sees you as the worst of sinner, the number one sinner, all other sinner fall below you. When you backslide, you are still worse than you were. If you, Paul described himself as chief of sinners. And what he meant here, I was among the top sinners. But I'm almost sure there are some sinners, probably both in the Gentile and the Jewish world, that outdid Paul as a sinner. When they accepted Christ and backslide, they still add a few notches to their ungodliness. And all this is telling us, one, that our need for Jesus Christ is so important, that's one. And that when we are privileged to be enlightened, and then take that enlightenment for granted. In fact, listen, the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 following.
For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world...
Wait. Watch this passage now. Don't just read it over when you read with the brother. Note what it is saying. When you become a child of God, for those of us who are Christian, when we became Christian, for men and women in the audience today who might be planning to become Christian, when you take that step to become Christian, this is what you are doing. What a blessing it is. Notice what you have done and what is happening to you. What happened, brother?
For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world.
Wait, here the Bible, the Almighty God sees the sinful life that you are now walking away from or you are now in. It is pollution. Germ, contaminated with all type of disease and germ. Contamination.
Through the knowledge.
When you step to Christ, you are walking away from it. Read.
Through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior.
It is knowing Jesus Christ that did that. You have to know God's word. And this is where we Christians come in. We are here to enlighten men. That's right. May I tell men and women who are planning to become Christian, who find the emptiness in their lives, that going fasting and praying and meditating, that's not the way you find Jesus Christ. You must turn to His Word. You must be enlightened by His Word. Read on.
They are again entangled there.
If after you have escaped the pollution of the world, that's the sinful and godly life, you give it up, you fail to acknowledge the privileges that it involves and the great opportunity, the great blessing in which you are stepped by accepting Christ. It says you are again what, brother?
Entangled.
Entangled.
Therein.
Therein.
And overcome.
And overcome.
That the latter end is worse with them than the beginning.
You got it? You got it? That the latter end, that means, however top class a sinner you were, let's change this. If you were at the bottom ladder of sinfulness, which means nobody in the world can get worse than you, then when you accept Christ and backslide, you have to still add another step below to that ladder. Because you have gotten worse. All what this passage is implying is the enormous blessing it is to know Christ and to accept Him. You come into enormous blessing. Not take it for granted, please. Don't read the other verse.
For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness.
You know, I almost move on and forget that verse. Did you all get it? All what this is emphasizing, you know, is the enormous blessing it is to accept Christ, to know Christ, to be forgiven, to be enlightened by Christ. Are we there? Jesus Christ is inevitable. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ reveals God to man. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? Before Jesus Christ, not even the Jews with the Ten Commandments and the law really knew Christ. Are you tempted to quote me those Old Testament passage will tell Lord, the Jews what and what? Well, let me repeat it lest you think I'm making a mistake. Before Jesus Christ came, man did not really know God, our Creator. Even the Jews, with the sacrificial Ten Commandments system, Jesus Christ revealed God to man. That is, Christ revealed God's nature, Christ revealed God's will, Christ revealed God's purpose. Let us look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17 and verse 30. Let us hear it.
And the times of this ignorance God winked at.
May I? Let us hear that again.
And the times of this ignorance God winked at. But now.
Wait! The times of this ignorance is referring to the entire pre-Christian area. I want you to get that. The times, the brother read from Acts of the Apostles chapter 17 and verse 30. The times, is it times?
Times.
Pluralized?
Yes. Yes.
And that is right. The entire pre-Christian period. That is, from creation, right up to the coming of Christianity. All of this period was times of ignorance. And the time of this ignorance, God winked at. Read.
But now commandeth all men everywhere.
You notice? There is a demarcation here. There is the time of ignorance, and there is the now. That is since the coming of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, the light of the world, brought enlightenment to men, God is not overlooking sin anymore. No sin. Every sin going to either be forgiven in Jesus Christ or be punished in the eternal hell. God has no other provision or plan for sin. So why the Bible? At the time of this ignorance, from creation right up, Jews and Gentiles, they were greatly ignorant. God therefore overlooked. In fact, you have some of the same thought expressed in Acts 14 and verse 16. Romans 8. 25 is just that we don't have time to read it, but you can read them when you. The same thought of how when men did not know better, when men did have only what would say the candle light, the Almighty God, forbearance, ruled the day. But now, since Christ and the gospel, men need not be ignorant anymore. Are we there? But I'm not through with that passage. This passage is revealing. At the times of this ignorance, note with me where that statement was made. Note with me where that statement was made. The statement The statement was made in Athens. That's important. Some historians believe that among the Greeks is where civilization started. Some historians believe that among the Greeks is where modernness started. Some historians believe that among the Greeks is where enlightenment started. Paul was at the center of what the then world and even the now world call civilization, the birth of civilization and enlightenment and knowledge and science. Paul is at the place of Aristotle, Socrates, Plato, Sophocles. This is the place. It was the Greek civilization that gave rise to make Rome the great place that it was. Athens. And do you know what? Paul was telling them that with all of their civilization that they pride themselves in, the Greeks. They were ignorant people. It was difficult for you to imply that to a Greek. But Paul is implying, notice here, some 600-700 years before this, when the Greek civilization was alive and kicking, when you have great men like Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, Sophocles, name them. Paul is implying here that they also live in the time of ignorance. Paul is implying that as enlightened as they thought they were, without Jesus Christ, they were ignorant. And this teaches me, and ought to teach you, that no art, no philosophy, no science, no literature, no intellectual attainment or achievement can take the place of Jesus Christ in our lives. None! Because all of this, science, really started among the Greeks. When today health professional and medical professional go backward in medical science, they almost always go to Greece. And Paul is telling them that they, the great civilization, 600 years before this, 400 years before this, that civilization with all of their art and science and architectural wonder and philosophy and thinking and meditation, he said, you were ignorant. And it is for this reason the Almighty God overlooked your sinfulness. But he's no more doing that. You know why? Jesus Christ has come. Before Jesus Christ, the world knew very little. In fact, when men come with the law, when men and women come today telling you you must keep the Sabbath and all of this, let them know they are bringing you back to the time of ignorance. And with Jesus Christ, God does not expect us to live in the time of ignorance anymore. Because Christ has come. He's the light of the world. Before Jesus Christ, the world knew very little about God's nature and God's will. Listen to the passage of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18.
This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that he henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened.
Having their what?
Understanding darkened.
I want you to listen to this passage. There is a phrase coming up, or a statement, that is important for us Christians to keep in mind, and for the visitors among us to also keep in mind. Read again, brother.
Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart.
Let us look at it again.
Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God.
Brothers and sisters, it matters not how much we achieve in universities and other institutions of higher learning academically. If we do not know Christ and the gospel, our understanding is darkened. We must keep that in mind. The Bible talks about not only their understanding darkened, but the Bible talks about in the verse the ignorance that is in them. Though why academic achievement is important and good, but there are certain things it cannot do. It does not enlighten us in respect to the Almighty God. The Almighty God's will, the Almighty God's nature, it does not enlighten us in respect to our own selves. May I go and achieve a 10 PhD in psychology or psychiatry, and you still will not know yourself as the true child of God who know Christ and God's word. Are you in the audience as a psychiatry or a psychologist and want to take me up on that? Let me repeat it then. Get a few PhD in the mind science. And if you do not know Christ and the gospel, you will never know yourself as the true child of God who studies God's word. Look at Romans chapter 10. Well, in fact, let us run to Ephesians. Don't worry with Romans. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4 through verse 5. Let us hear it. Still on the fact that before Jesus Christ, the world knew very little about God's nature and God's will. Ephesians chapter 3, 4 through 5.
Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ.
You may understand my knowledge
in the mystery.
In the mystery
of Christ.
Of Jesus. Brother Mitchell, what is a mystery? Something which had been hidden. But it's no more hidden. It's revealed to the apostles and prophets of Christ. Read on.
Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men.
Are you all there? Are you following the lesson that there are some things that God kept to himself in throughout the past ages? It was never revealed to the sons of men? Let us hear it, brother. Go on.
As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit.
That? You see, in other ages, there are some secret God had. And I have some news for you. The Gentiles did not know the secret because God had it hidden in himself. The Jews did not know it because it was hidden in God. The angels did not know it because it was hidden in God. And somebody might be tempted to ask me the question, Brother Mitchell, how do you know the angel did not know it? Because the angel themselves, God's revelation tells me that the angel had to wait until it was revealed to the apostles of Christ. And that when it was revealed to the apostles of Christ, as the apostles of Christ, let it be known to the church. It was then that angels became nosy, inquisitive. Have you read that, brother? That's right. God's secret. People talk about Old Testament. Yes, the Old Testament is important to us. But it was the time of ignorance. There's something God had hidden that was never revealed until after Jesus. Wait, you weren't finished with the passage, brother. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4 to verse 5.
Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed by his holy apostles and prophets.
You all hear that? So when we talk about the Jews didn't know that, and yes, they are the gospel of Christ, the nature of God and his will, have just come to full light when Christ came. Read on.
By unto his holy apostles and prophets.
What verse is that?
5.
When 5 finished, step to verse 8.
By the Spirit. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given.
Watch here now.
That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Read on.
And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery.
Stop here. You see, you have been reading this part of the Bible for a long time. And you know, in the past, every time I read it, I said, why the King James scholar didn't translate it in a simpler way that everybody can understand? But translating it in a simpler way would take up more words. Read that part again. You're at verse 9.
Yeah, verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God.
This is still talking about what verse 4 and 5 had said, you know, about something that was hid in God from the beginning of the world, hid from men. It's still on that point. They talk about the fellowship of the mystery. What this means? One way that can be translated is to make clear what is God's way of working out his hidden purpose. That's one way that can be translated. There's another way. In fact, all of what it is saying is that the verse is stating that which had been hidden from men and angels, from creation, up until when Christ revealed it to his apostles, that is, that the Gentiles should get salvation, and getting salvation, they should get it the same way the Jews get it. That verse 9 is dealing with how God is working that out in this time. So another way can be translated, and to enlighten all men upon the new order of that divine secret. That is how the Almighty God will be unfolding, how He's going to provide salvation for the Jews and the Gentiles the same way. Another way, and of bringing to light how this hidden purpose, what is the hidden purpose? Saving Jews and Gentiles in the same church. How this hidden purpose was to be put into effect. And last, another way it can be translated is to enlighten all men and make plain to them what is the plan regarding the Gentiles and regarding the salvation of all men. God's mystery was hidden. As we wrap up, not that the message is finished. Nature revealed God's power. Nature does not reveal God's will. Nature does not reveal God's nature. Nature reveal God's existence and God's power. That's what Psalms 19:1 through around verse 3 is about. The heavens declare the glory of God. The word glory can also be translated characteristic. The firmament show God's power, His handiwork. The passage went on to tell us that day after day gives knowledge. As you live and see the working of nature, you get more enlightened in respect to the fact that there is a God and that He is all powerful. But what about His holiness, His righteousness, His will for you? Nature doesn't even touch on any of that. Are we all there? Well, what about the Old Testament law, Brother Mitchell? What the Old Testament law does is reveal that there is sin. How to deal with that sin? God's will to deal with our sin. You don't find that in the Old Testament. But Brother Mitchell, the animal sacrifice, all that God does is to tell us that there is sin. No sin was ever forgiven for anyone, anywhere, until Jesus Christ died, buried, and resurrected. So all the bloodshed and Jewish altar did not address sin. Oh Lord, so much to say. Let me just end with this. Brothers and sisters, if and when I pick up on this lesson, I don't want to come back to this point. So I end as I started, with Jesus Christ being the light of men. When we look at Jesus' life, in the purity of Christ's life, we can see the holiness of God. Remember, I told you that Jesus Christ helped us to know God. When we look on the suffering Jesus Christ endured for our sins, we see the love and the mercy of God. When we look on the miracles that were wrought by Jesus Christ we come to understand the power of the Almighty God. When we examine the teachings of Jesus Christ, we see God's plan and purpose for our lives. Only as we know Jesus Christ are we going to know the Almighty God. Truly, Jesus Christ said to Thomas, or one of them, Philip, or one of them, when you see me, you see the Father. And without Jesus Christ, we cannot know the Almighty God. But when we pick up on this, we are going to show that without Jesus Christ, we cannot even know ourselves. Without Jesus Christ, we cannot know the purpose for which we are put here. Without Jesus Christ, we cannot know the will of God. Because Jesus Christ is the life of men. If you have made him your life, meaning if you are a child of God, don't take it as something light. Cherish that decision you made to make Jesus Christ your light. But if you're here and if you're not a child of God, if you're not a Christian, if you have never made a willing decision to accept Christ by submitting in obedience to his will, then there is no better time to do it than now. You and I do not set up our own will in respect to how we are Christian. You must submit to the will of Jesus Christ. That's how we become Christian. And that submission includes belief. But so many false religions out there stop at belief. That's why you hear, put your hand on your radio and your TV cabinet. That doesn't do it, ladies and gentlemen. Belief is only one step of many that takes you where Jesus Christ will forgive you. For example, after belief, you must repent. Are you a Christian when you repent? No, you must confess Christ's name. That is showing that you believe that he is the Son of God. You must be baptized. And that baptism is not sprinkling. It's not confirmation. Meaning, Mr. Mitchell, that if you have been confirmed or sprinkled, in the sight of God, you are still a sinner. You have never been saved. You have not even started yet. Huh? You know, the brother is looking for his invitation song. A point that you need to share, you know, I talk about he hasn't even started yet. That is, if you have gone, get yourself sprinkled, and you are going to church, you haven't started God's will yet. And it's like the Christian who have accepted Christ. We have dealt some with that, and then backslide. And we may think, and even that backslide child of God may think, well, it is business as usual. This is where I was 5 years ago before I became a Christian. This is where I was 3 years ago before I became a Christian. It's business as usual. I have abandoned Christ. It's not business as usual. It's business got worse. So, like you who have gone, get sprinkled, confirm, and think you are baptized. No, you haven't even started yet. Because what those acts do is qualify you to become a part of a man-made organization. But then, to have your sins forgiven, you must be properly taught and to get baptized properly. So right now, you need Christ more than anything else to satisfy that need. You must accept Christ, Christ's way. That includes being taught, believing, make a resolution to repent of your sin, to own Christ or to confess His name, to get baptized with a resolve to live right. You can begin that journey today, right now, as we stand and sing.
575.
575.